How are you guys? Now you guys are all alert and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready for tonight. Thank you for the game, guys. Thank you to the Campbells. I'm excited. Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be with you guys tonight in Grow Track 1. I love this class, and I love what this Grow Track is doing. I love discipleship. I love growth. I was a new convert, and God put some incredible people in my life that discipled me. And I just became addicted to making disciples of Christ. Loved it. Started a Bible study. Didn't even know the Bible. One of my very first disciples was actually Ashley Pig. She's one of our dream team coaches over in KidWorks. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand the Bible. I didn't understand prayer. I was a brand new convert, but I had such a passion for what God was doing in my life that I thought, well, if it worked on me and it made such a great difference, I want to go do this for everyone else if they're willing. And I just got addicted to making disciples. There's something addicting to seeing someone come to know Christ and then to watch them become like Christ. It is addicting, and I'm telling you, if you're bored in your Christian walk, you haven't yet tapped into what God's created you to do. Because what I didn't realize, the reason it got me going so, is I was called to preach and teach and to make disciples. So as I began to grow in Christ, I began to feel another gift kind of just stirring in my heart, but I was a little confused by the gift. I didn't really understand what it was, and, you know, I got hired on at the church, still doing Bible studies and stuff like that. And then as I began to grow and more in my walk with Christ, I realized there was this gift of the Spirit that I didn't know was actually a gift, but it was this leadership gift. I loved to lead people. I loved to manage. I loved to lead. And it's like as I grew in Christ, I began to notice certain things about myself that I know were all must have always been there. And God always saw, but I was ignorant of and did not know. And maybe it was because it took a while for me to be able to handle, right, some of the things that God was calling me to do. But what I'm saying tonight is God took me on an incredible journey of discovering who I was in Christ and what Jesus wanted to do through me. And that has just become such an addiction. I love it. Loved it so much and still do so much that that is why Pastor Jeremy called on me about a year ago. And he said, you know, I know that you really like what you're doing right now at the church. He said, but as much as I love how much we've grown, he said, as much as I love the different things that you have done to help with that, he said, I really want to know, are you willing to maybe take this discipleship edge you have and help create something for the entire church? And I began to think, what if we could create something that had all of the components of what I do one-on-one with someone or what some of our pastors do one-on-one with one person? Could we? Like, could we take all of the magical ingredients, those amazing moments, those power punch teachings that are so impactful one-on-one? Would it work in a group setting? And so that is that kind of thinking, that kind of conversation is where the Grow Track came from. In fact, what we're working on right now, you're going to hear way more about it in the fall, and it's called the Movement. Because God said, I have come, and I will build my movement, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so that word church and that scripture, it actually means movement. And so what God's put in our pastor's heart, and it's definitely in my heart too, is to see God's people not just get saved and just come to church. That's great. But begin moving towards Christ closer than you've ever been before. And along that journey, discovering who God's called you to be and what he's called you to do. See, up till right now, in the Grow Tracks, both Grow Tracks, by the way, Grow 1 and Grow 2, we've been working on a lot of teachings that have more to do with you, your internal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So you guys in here, what are some things you've learned in Grow Track 1? Give me some topics. Please tell me you can remember some. Mark Keezer. What's never over? Your growth is never over. Absolutely. What other things have you guys learned? What topics have you learned that have helped you grow? Ashley? Reading the Bible. Excellent. Okay, so how to read it and how to understand it and how to navigate through it a little bit. Okay, what other topics have you guys studied in here? Oh, yes, good. Protecting your seed. I still remember when that one came in my heart for this, and I remember why, and it sounded like it was a really good class in here that night. Excellent. I saw another hand. Mark again. How to overcome the attacks of the enemy. I was in here last week, got to hear it. So all of these things you've been learning so far, listen, what Megan said was excellent, and I hope you heard her. See, God is laying a very, very firm foundation in your walk right now. He's laying it in your theology, in your belief system, and in your behaviors as a Christian. And so what's super important, please hear me before we get into all that we're going to get into tonight. Failure to truly understand and master, or at least practice, what you're learning in here will definitely hinder some of what God wants to do next and grow too. So it would be like laying a foundation for a house and trying to put up the framework before the concrete's dry. What would happen? Can you picture the house? Like, the, you know, I can just see the, what are they? They're not 2x4s. Are they 4x4s? I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna get myself in trouble. So that the wood stuff, you know, I can just see it sinking down into the concrete. It's starting to tip over. It's starting to fall down, right? So it's very important and that the foundation, the concrete God's laying in your lives. And some of you, he had to break up your foundation because you were taught untruths. And a lot of what's been hard for you has been unlearning. You want to know what's harder than learning? Unlearning. And some of you were raised with unbiblical truths about God. And so part of the journey for you in here has been like, whoa, I didn't know the Bible said about that. That's not what grandma taught me. Or that's not what I understood. That's not what my best friend said when we were in, you know, first grade. So this unlearning process is challenging. And so some of you, that's been your journey. But all of it is important because all of it's a part of your foundation. And we at Timber Creek, we want your God-given potential to be reached and mastered. And that cannot happen if you've got a shaky, gooey, or hard and cracked, messed up foundation, okay? So before we get into Grow 2, let's make sure what God is pouring into you right now, that you take the time to let it settle, that you take the time in the next few months to walk this stuff out so when you get in there, your concrete's smooth, it's good and hard, and it's ready for the next phase of what God wants to build in you. Are you with me tonight? So tonight we get to dive into a different kind of teaching where it's maybe a little bit less about that time with God, less about sin, protecting your seeds. Tonight we're going to make a shift. And we're going to talk now not necessarily about your faith, but what you do with your faith. In fact, I believe it's John Maxwell. He said impression, being impressed. What happens if you're impressed with something? Huh? You like it? If you impress something, push it into you. Yeah. So impression, listen, this is good. I didn't write it, so I can say it's good. Impression without expression leads to depression. God created us in his image, right? We learned that in Starting Point. In his likeness, he made us. So here's the danger. When we try to be like two-thirds of God and we decide we don't want to be like this other third of God, we end up missing out and are incomplete in who he really wants us to become. And so we've been learning so much about our faith and our relationship with God, but we have to now learn what we're going to do with it. Because being impressed, being impacted is not enough. Without expressing it, you were created in the likeness of God, and God is a very expressive God. God didn't just believe things about mankind. He did a lot for mankind. He does a lot for mankind. And God does a lot to express his love for you, or else you wouldn't be here. Impression without expression leads to depression. You want to know who some of the most miserable Christians I know are? Two different kinds. Christians who are living in sin and they know it, they're miserable. They're riding the fence and they're like, it's painful. You sit on top of one of these fences for very long, you got hurt. It's miserable, right? Those are some of the most miserable Christians I know. But the second most miserable Christians I know are the Christians that have sat and listened. They know the Bible. They know everything. But they have never tapped into what God's called them to do. And those Christians, I'm telling you, they lack like a luster. They're just kind of like, kind of boring. Like they're actually kind of bored with their faith. Have you ever been around a Christian that knows their calling? Have you ever been around a Christ follower that knows what God's called them to do and is doing it? What are they like? They're excited. Give me some other words. Have you anyone ever known a Christian like that? What are they like, Melissa? Oh, I just called you Melissa. What were they like? They're happy. Excellent. Yes. I love that. I love that word happy. Chandler. They're fulfilled. So I think my theory is they're super happy. There's contentment because they sense fulfillment. They sense that not only do they know their purpose, they're living it out in such a way that other lives are being changed because of their life. That's addicting. That is a vital component of your Christian walk. One day, I love to cook, love to bake, and we were going to bake some chocolate chip cookies. And the recipe called for baking soda. I didn't have it. I thought surely baking powder would do the same thing. I mean, baking, they're both white. They're both kind of odd ingredients I hardly ever use. This is true. So I got the baking powder out, and I added it to my cookie dough. And, like, these cookies, like, went, I mean, he talked about cookies baking and rising. They did not rise. Like, they were just flat. There was nothing to them. Because apparently, I guess the baking soda helps them rise, helps them do something. That baking soda, as insignificant as I thought it was, turned out to be a very special ingredient to making the cookie not flat and hard and chewy. And for Christians, we could maybe sometimes feel like taking next steps, serving with our gifts to glorify God, isn't maybe as necessary for our spiritual growth. And I'm here to tell you tonight that all of the components I'm going to go over tonight, they're equally vital for your spiritual growth and health, okay? So the goal is your God-given potential being understood and then accomplished. And so the Grow Track is going to help you do that. And so tonight, we're going to dive into this thing called ministry. We're going to dive into a topic called the gifts, hold on, of the Holy Spirit. Dun, dun, dun. Are you okay? I said the Holy Spirit. Are we good? All right, not going to freak you out. I'm not going to start speaking in tongues and ask you guys to interpret me. Nothing weird. Nothing weird allowed. All right? And not that is weird, but I'm not like going to do that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to challenge you tonight beyond what we've taught you already. So what we've taught you already in starting point is that you have a purpose, and that's true. And we've taught you that God has given you a specific shape to reach that purpose. All of that's true. But tonight, we're going to dig into the Word of God, and we're going to find out the fact, and we're going to study the fact that God has given all of us gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hang on. Guess what they do? They help you accomplish your purpose. In fact, these gifts of the Spirit are supernatural gifts, which means when you use them, things will always happen that could have never happened had God not shown up. These are gifts of the Spirit. They're gifts that God has given us to do great things. So I need you guys to open your minds tonight, open your hearts, and we're going to dig into Scripture tonight, because you guys know me enough. If you don't know this, I love to study Scripture. If it's not in the Word of God, we don't need to be teaching it, right? So I want to give you guys a couple of fast facts about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts. The very fact that God calls them gifts is pretty interesting, right? When you think of a gift, what do you think of? Is it something scary? Huh? Presents. Hello, Christmas, right? Christmas morning. Did we wake up as kids at Christmas Eve night or whenever you did it? How many of you opened Christmas gifts at Christmas Eve night? Oh, that's just so sad. No, like all of them. Raise your hand high. I opened all my presents on Christmas Eve night. So you're like, did you miss out on like, I can't sleep, miserable, want to throw up, butterflies, Christmas Eve night, laying in your bed? How many of you remember those moments? So excited over your gifts, couldn't sleep. I would get nauseous. I'd get myself all worked up because I couldn't wait to open my presents. So here's the deal. God picked the word gifts for a reason. And I love this about God. Because I think he knew that some of his people may be kind of freaked out about things about the Holy Spirit one day. And so he gives us the term gifts of the Spirit. So we will associate something good and trusted and happy and fulfilling about them. Okay? In fact, I challenge you guys to go home and study two chapters of the Bible on this. Are you ready? Your homework, if I were to give you homework, would be 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. Now, you can read 1 Corinthians 11, 12, 13, and 14. They all are kind of like have a thread there interwoven about these things. But I really challenge you to study those, okay? So how I study is a lot of times I'll read it in like a really loose translation first to understand just the overall meaning of it. And then I dive deeper into like the Amplified. And I want to study the words, okay? So when I say study it, read it and study it. Let's go over some fast facts that I have pulled out of 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Fast facts on the gifts of the Spirit. Here we go. Number one, we find out in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 that every Christian has at least one gift. How many Christians? Every Christian. Right? Every Christian has at least how many gifts? One. All right? Number two, no single gift is given to everyone. So as much as I wish I could belt it out like Pastor Stephen on stage, and boy, do I wish I could. I think God knew I couldn't handle that. Probably get to my head or something. I don't know. But I wish I could. Don't you wish you'd get up there and just like rock like that? Like I love it. Can't do it. If you heard me sing, I mean, my family makes fun of me when they hear me sing. When I'm having my time with God, I've got the headset on. I sound great. But they don't think so. And then when Taylor has her worship time with God, well, the dog begins to moan. No, I'm kidding. I love you, Tay-Tay. Okay. But here's the deal. Oh. Number three, you don't get to pick the gifts you get. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. So you remember the scriptures we learned about some in Starting Point, and you may have touched on them a little bit in here, where it says that he created you before the world was born. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb, right? So like God custom made you. And he put, in the same way, like Carter has certain parts of my DNA, and Victoria has others, and your kids too, Carrie, you totally know what I'm talking about. And you too, Casey, your kids, just think of them. Like some of them, I look at Carter and how he acts sometimes, and I'm going, was I even there? Like, he's his dad, like made over, acts like his dad, walks like his dad, a little bounce. I mean, like, the whole thing. And then there are moments I look at Victoria, and even though she looks like the Vanderlees, she acts just like me. And I'm like, that's my DNA in that girl. That is Talia Beaver Vanderlees made all over, okay? But she didn't get to pick. She didn't get to pick what traits of mine she got, bless her heart. And Carter didn't get to pick either, okay? I didn't get to pick which ones they received. God determines that. And in the same way, all of us are made by God. Now listen, that means all of you have at least a part of his DNA. Because even though Carter doesn't act like me, and all you people tell me he looks like Alvin, guess what? He's got my brown eyes. He's got my blonde hair. He's got my ears. He even has this little mole on the back of his shoulder, just like I have. He has my yellow skin. There's some of my DNA in there. He doesn't get much. He didn't get much. You, every person in here, has God's DNA. Like, some of you are creative, and guess what? You're creative because he's a creative God, and he chose to put that in you to bring him glory. Some of you are teachers, speakers, leaders, and God put that in you to use for his glory, okay? Some of you guys don't want anyone to see you, ever. Like, if I had you come up here and share, you would literally crumble. But you love to help make things happen behind the scenes. Like, you love to get in there when no one's around and, like, set up the room and prepare a place for all of the people to come in and go, wow. Guess what? God loves to do that kind of stuff, too. I think God is really good at preparing places for us to show up and enjoy. Okay? So, see, all of us have God's DNA, but we don't get to choose what part we have. Okay, the next point. Next point, number five. Oh, sorry. Oh, good, because that one's good. Number four. The gifts I'm given are permanent. Oh, I love this one. Romans, I just studied Romans 11, 29. Because we were focused on, see, because when we get in Grow 2, we're not talking about your gifts, we're talking about your calling. Watch out. That one was powerfully intense and amazing. We're going to get in that later. But tonight we're going to talk about gifts. But this scripture, Romans 11, 29, says the gifts and the calling are irrevocable. Does anyone understand what irrevocable means? Anyone want to give a stab at it tonight? Ashley. Can't give it back. What'd you say, Carrie? Can't get rid of it. If you study the word irrevocable, it literally means cannot be taken away. Can't get rid of it. So that in the same way, Carter cannot rub off his yellow skin that I gave him. And he can't get rid of the bounce walk. It's going to take really hard training to get rid of that. The gifts of the Spirit you have are permanent. You get to keep them forever. Okay? Isn't that neat? If you don't believe me, you can read the scriptures. It's all in there. For the sake of time, I didn't have time to read two chapters to you. Number five. Now, hold on. You want to know why this is important? Because some of you stop serving and following God when you mess up. I know. You guys all got really awkward because we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there where we trip, we fall, we mess up, we walk away, and we think, oh, I've gone too far, right? God can't use me now. I'm damaged goods. I'm no good to God. Surely he won't trust me now. Oh, gosh, now the pastor knows. Oh, well, gosh, now they probably don't want me at their church. Come on, right? But God says your gifts and your calling can never be taken away. No matter what you do, they were given to you freely, and you can't get rid of them. No matter what you do, they're there. I know I've seen Christians fall away from the Lord and not serve God, who still today are not. And I still see the gifts there. The calling's still there. They can't get rid of it. And it haunts them. It just is haunting them. And they'll tell me, I know, I can feel it. Can't get rid of it. It haunts you. All right? Number five, big one. I am responsible to develop the gifts God gives me. Who's responsible to develop the gift? See, this isn't technically like Christmas, because when my kids open their gifts, guess who puts them all together? We do. Actually, Pastor Alvin does. I get to have fun and play with them all. Now, Alvin's got the tools out, and his whole day's ruined because he's putting together like 25 different toys. All right? But you are responsible to develop the gifts God gives you, which requires something that starts with a P. You want to guess at it? Practice. You don't wait until you're a master at what God's called you to do before you start practicing what he's called you to do. It's called practice for a reason. I don't know one sport athlete, I don't know one person who's successful that the first time they tried it, they were amazing. Now, they had a gift, and so do you. And you have to practice it and perfect that which is in you, the Bible says. Number six, I'm going to take you a step further. And I'm going to say the scripture first because it's a strong statement, and so I need a lot of scripture to back me up here. Matthew 25, 14, and 30 is the parable of the steward or the parable of the talents. And one of the different managers of what the boss gives him hides the bag of gold in the ground. And when the master shows up to the managers, he asks the one who hid it in the ground, why did you hide it in the ground? And his response was this, I was afraid. Basically, he was afraid of doing it wrong. So he decided to not do anything at all. And the master in this parable is the Father, Father God. And we are the managers, the stewards, with the bags of gold. And I say that because the master replies to the manager who hid the gold and says this. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. And he takes the bag of gold away from him and he gives it to the one that multiplied it 10 times. So like either the Bible's all true or it's not. We can't pick and choose what we like. The truth is that we are to be good stewards and develop the gifts God gives us. And the truth is, number six, it is a sin to waste the gifts God has given me. Because number seven, this is the big reason. Well, I mean, I'd say it's the big reason. I guess my favorite thing about the gifts of the Spirit is getting to partner with God and use them. Because, like, you know how you experience God in worship when you're praising Him? You guys know that feeling? That's why everyone's like, oh, I love the worship, you know? It's because you feel God. You feel His presence. There's a different way you experience God's presence when you work with Him. There's something different I feel when His Spirit's flowing through me as a gift to impact someone. Like, that's, like, incredible. Do you understand? That's why they're so stinking happy. It's because, like, they feel the Holy Spirit flowing through the power of God, flowing through them to change someone else's life. It just doesn't get any better than that, okay? So that's why it's so important. And number seven, using the gifts are important because you partner with God, but because your gifts glorifies God. Using them glorifies God and helps others. Now get this, and causes me to grow, causes you to grow. Number eight, God gives us specific guidelines that must be followed when using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many A-type personalities do we have in here? Oh, gosh. There are only three of you like me in here. Okay. Well, people like me I'm very black and white. Yeah, I'm black and white. I love rules. Just give me the rules. I tell Pastor all the time, just tell me my boundaries and where you want me to go, and I'll go. I'll get it there. Like, just, if you don't give me the boundaries, I will run all over the place, okay? Give me my boundaries, and I won't break them. And he knows that. I say it to him all the time. In the same way, the Holy Spirit gives us boundaries, even with the gifts of the Spirit. And so some of you, maybe you went to churches where there were no boundaries with the gifts of the Spirit. And so you're a little freaked out when you heard me tell what I was talking about today, okay? Know that that's not what the Bible says, and you're going to see the gifts of the Spirit are to be done with decency and in order, the Bible teaches. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't want to go freaking people out far away from God any more than you want Him to. Think of, why would the Holy Spirit of God want to scare you away from God? Let's just think about that. Like, that's crazy. Okay? He wants us to want to use those gifts, and he gives us very clear guidelines how to use them the right way. That's what we're going to get into for the rest of the class tonight. I want to read this scripture to you. We're going to study five ministry gifts to the church. We're going to go over the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hang with me. But first, I want to describe to you five ministry gifts to the church. And I'm going to use a whiteboard because I like to use whiteboards. You guys saw that one Sunday. Okay, here we go. So we have the church right here. Oh, that looks like a house. Well, here, we'll fix it. There we go. Ha, 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 there we go. Church. Okay, so, That's my sarcastic daughters of the Lord back there. Okay, here we go. So he's given us five gifts, ministry gifts. It's easier to understand when you put it on a whiteboard. To the church. These gifts were sent by God to the church. Okay? Now we're going to play a little game. You have to... I'm really bad at games, too. We're going to try it. So we're going to play Guess That Gift. And it's one of the ministry gifts to the church. And here are your options. Oh, no. Should I give them options? No. Okay. Okay. So the first one is... Oh, no. Okay. You have to guess what it is. It is a hammer. Yes. But that's okay. You guessed my picture. Okay. The first one is apostles. You want to know how I got it? Hold on, hold on. He has the gift of discernment. He discerned. No. That was a hammer and a ruler, and he was getting ready to lay a foundation. Because the apostles, get this. Get this, get this. Apostles are sent. Now, the scripture reference for this is Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. And God says in Ephesians 11 and 12, in fact, Grow 2 is having to memorize it this week. They memorize scripture and quote it for prizes. Okay, so they're tough. Anyway, these five gifts to the church, listen, here it is in your scripture. I want to make sure you get it before I do this game all the way. It says, so Christ gave himself apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. I want you to circle verse 12. To equip his people. Oh, you don't have it? Write down verse 12. He gives the church these gifts to equip God's people for works of service. Did you hear that? So God, who gave all these gifts? Who did he give these gifts to? The church. Why did he give these gifts to the church? To equip who? Who are God's people? To do what? Isn't that neat? So the church that the pastor's doing everything is a church out of order. That is a one-man show, and he's robbing God's people from their potential. It's just true. What did you say? Who? And he's wearing himself out, trying to do it all. All right, back to the game. Okay, so apostles, now here's the reason I drew these pictures. Apostles, it's in your notes, their mission, their role is they're sent to build new churches or new ministries. People who have, you may have heard the apostolic anointing, are people who have a niche. Honestly, a lot of them are very entrepreneurial in nature. They get bored doing the same thing for very long. There are 0 to 1 people. They love to start something that doesn't exist, even within the church. They love to go create something new or fix something that's broken. That's what I love to do, all right? I love to create things that don't exist or fix what's broken. Like, give me anything. I'll do it. I love it. All right, the next one. The next one. Yes, pastor. I was going to do a shepherd staff and try to draw a shepherd, but I don't know how to draw a shepherd. So pastor, shepherd, very good. All right, so we've got apostles, we've got pastors. Let's look at what pastors do. How are they different than apostles? Pastors were sent by God to the church to shepherd and care for a flock. They lead a local body of believers. And you want to know why that's so important? Because, like, it's really important that we let our pastors pastor. Like, they're good at it. Like, they just love the sheep. And the sheep need to feel that from their pastors, right? It's really important. All right, let's do the next one. Okay, I had this one in my head. All right, so let me see if I can... Oh, gosh. you just guessed it. Oh, can I show what I was going to do? No, I don't have time. Yes. Well, this was going to be a mouth, and it was going to speak out stuff that saw things way out here, and it was prophet. So let's look at prophet real quick. What is a prophet? What is a prophet not? Prophets. Church bells. Prophets. Now, we tend to think a lot of negative, scary stuff about prophets. Like, you know, Nathan the prophet that goes up to King David and says, you know, like, everything about you is about to be stripped away. You just slept with Bathsheba. You're in big trouble. Like, whoa, 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 right? If you study the different prophets before the woes of God came, there were these pleadings and beggings and reminders of how much God loved them. Let's look at the gift of the prophet. A prophet brings a specific word or message to someone and or the church concerning coming events. We're going to study the gift of prophecy in a second. I got to get through this. All right, the next one. Oh, shoot. The next one. Oh, that's going to make like a robot. Hold on. This one right here. I'm sorry, you guys on my left can't see. Yes. You guys didn't even let me draw all the people that were going to be really sad because they're away from Jesus, and I was going to try to do a whole bunch of them. Yes. Evangelists have a strong heart, strong emphasis. Like they bleed and cry out in their heart to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's my husband. Like, he may have pastor before his name, but he gets miserable fast if he's not doing something really scary and dangerous for the kingdom. Miserable. Like, bless his heart. So, like, he's on a high right now, because guess where he is? He's at the prison with over 300 prisoners, encouraging them and praying with them and helping lead them to Christ. He's in hog heaven now, okay? So, yeah, it's exciting. It's wonderful that God's doing that right now. The last one, which now you know, like, I won't draw it. But as a teacher, now isn't this interesting that's separate from pastor? No. There's no point. I drew a daggum circle and you said prophet, okay? Teacher, the gift of teaching is someone who's gifted to teach and explain and expound on God's word, okay? Now the main job of these five ministry gifts or offices is to equip God's people for works of service. Now let me say this. The definition of the word minister means simply to serve. Did you know that? So when you say, I don't feel called to ministry, what you're really saying is, I don't feel called to serve, technically speaking. Because all ministry is, definition-wise, it means to serve. Isn't that cool? Why is that important? Because it's not complicated. And I think a lot of things the enemy does is he tries to make us feel very scared and like serving a ministry or taking next steps and doing what God's called me to do, even if it's just going through another grow track or going to encounter and like getting some stuff like lined up with the Lord. Like that's just so hard because that's like ministry. And you guys are called to do ministry, not us. Like, that's why God chose you guys, right? That's the kind of thinking. I've been there. I wasn't always a pastor. That's why God had you guys. But remember, what is the mission of the five? To do what? To equip who? You. To do what? To serve. What's another word for serve? To minister. Okay? I want to look at a quick example of someone in the Bible who was really freaked out by serving a ministry. The call of Gideon. In Judges 6:11-16, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, help me Lord, where his son Gideon, now get this, his son Gideon was so afraid because they were in a season of really bad war that he was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Hold on, you didn't hear me. Gideon is hiding. He's threshing wheat in a what? Is a wine press made to thresh wheat? No. Why is he doing this? He's so afraid he's hiding. He's using tools. It's like, you know, it's like using a kitchen tool to do something out in the garden because you're just so afraid. Like, it doesn't even make sense. But look at what happens next. Verse 12 says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, guess what he says to him? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord? That's what Gideon said. That's the word of God. I didn't make that up. Pardon me, my Lord? Like, excuse me? Like, seriously? He's threshing wheat in a winepress. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? The Lord turned to him and said, listen, this is so good for tonight. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. And some of you need to hear that. Because you feel like Gideon. And you are so afraid of getting out of your comfort zone, whatever that looks like, that even when the Lord is coming to you and he's saying, mighty warrior, or he's saying, gifted teacher of children, or he's saying, friendly greeter to make a guest feel welcome, or he's saying, leader of a group of women who are hurting from divorce, and you reply, pardon me, Lord? Because we tend to see the worst of ourselves. But God has the ability to look beyond what we see into what is really sitting inside of us. And God saw a mighty warrior when Gideon saw a little weenie, right? And God's challenge to him was this, and his challenge to you tonight is this. Despite all of the excuses, all of the fears, all of your imperfections, God is saying, just go in the strength you do have. Like, just get up, go with the strength you have in you now. And the neat thing in the story is as Gideon gets up and the strength, a little bit, how much strength do you think he really had in the moment? Meep, right? Little. But as he stepped, listen, gosh, as he stepped out with that little bit, God multiplied it, and God poured into him every bit of faith and strength he needed to accomplish his mission and change the world around him. Do you understand you're no different than Gideon? And some of you need to stop hiding and threshing wheat in a wine press and understand that you have purpose. You have gifts, and God wants you to use them to glorify him and to impact people. Mark Keyser. Absolutely. Could have been the wine press was way quieter. If you read the context before, you find out that the Israelites are being ravished. In fact, the Bible says it was like a swarm of locusts. The Midianites and some others were coming against them, stealing all their crops, intruding their homes, knocking everything down, stealing everything from them. So he's hiding out of absolute fear and needing to still get the job done to survive without the Midianites knowing he's alive. You could look at all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely. But my challenge to you tonight, as I finish with going over the gifts specifically and talking about your next steps, is this. There are no good excuses for doing nothing with your faith. There are just no good excuses for it. And you guys are like finishing grow one, you know? And like it's so important. Paul says, James says in the book of James that faith without works is like dead. Like that's like important to hear tonight. Faith without works is useless, another translation says. What do you, stop and just chew on that for a second. Faith without expression, without doing something with it. It's still faith, isn't it? Still going to heaven. But is it useful in the master's hands? Do you want to be useful in the master's hands? Now let's take these gifts. We've learned about the five gifts, ministry gifts to the church that are to equip who? Come on, guys. Well, who are we equipping? God's people to do what? Works of service. Here are the gifts. Oh, man. Okay. I need somebody to... Oh, shoot. Sorry, guys. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Taylor, next time I need to have somebody come up here and wipe this. I'm so sorry, guys. Here we go. I'm going to divide the nine gifts of the Spirit into three categories. So in your notes, you're going to see the very first category is utterance gifts. If you hear the word utterance, what do you think of? I did not say utters. Awkward. Okay. What is it? Utterance. Grow one. You guys are funny. Okay. Let me spell it for you. A-N-C. Okay. Utterance gifts. Okay. Let's go over the three utterance gifts real quick. So utterance. Gifts. Ah, that's right. Okay. Utterance gifts. Let's go over the three utterance gifts. Utterance meaning speaking. Very good. Now, in Grow 2, we get into what the Bible says about these first two. I am not teaching on it tonight. If you have questions on it, I'm more than happy to answer them after class. I'm going to literally give you definitions of these gifts, how they're used, how they're not. If you want the theology behind it and you want to understand some of these better, you can talk to one of our leaders after class, but you need to go into Grow 2, all right? Here we go. The first one is tongues. And I'm not talking about the tongue in your mouth. It's in the Bible. It's in the chapter. It's in 1 Corinthians. You're going to find that in 1 Corinthians 14:27 and further on. Now, tongues is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And so you're going to need to unlearn whether I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues. I'm not telling you have to do that. You don't have to do that to be saved. We don't believe that. That's not what the Bible teaches. Don't add to the cross of Christ, okay? Don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. However, it's in there as one of the gifts of the Spirit. So I have to teach it. All right. Now let's talk about how it's to be used. We're talking about a public tongue to be interpreted. So I've been in a service before where someone would stand up and there would be a message in tongues. And I'm telling you, I was blessed to be raised here where I didn't grow up watching the gifts of the Spirit abused. So, but I've heard some people have, and I'm very sorry you grew up in a church like that. I grew up in a very healthy atmosphere here. And so we knew if that ever happened, it didn't happen often. But if it did, God was trying to say something. And I could always, the whole auditorium, you could feel there was this very strong presence of the Lord that would just come in the room. And there would be this tongue. Now, we're going to get into the interpretation in a moment. But that's how it should be used. Look at this. How should the gift of tongues be used? In a group or congregation, always with an interpretation. How is it not to be used in a group or congregation without an interpretation? The Apostle Paul goes so far as to say, if there's not an interpretation, be quiet in the church. His point is, what good is it for you to stand up and speak in tongues and nobody understands a stinking thing you said? That's not what the gift of tongues is for. Now, your own prayer language in tongues, just you and Jesus, you don't have to have an interpretation. It's just you and the Lord. But if you're going to do that publicly, if you don't have an interpretation, you've just confused tons of people. It's freaked them out. And remember, the Holy Spirit says the gifts of the Spirit have to be done how? Decency and in order. Okay? Now, this takes us to the next gift, and it's interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Okay, let's look at this one. The interpretation of a public tongue. All right? How is it used? After a public tongue is given, It needs to be audible to the audience, and it is a witness to the unbeliever, but only when interpreted. Here's how we don't use interpretation. Oh, here we go. Some of you may have grown up like this. We don't use the gift of interpretation of tongues as a soapbox or an opportunity to express your opinion and viewpoints to those around you. You know, the Holy Spirit flows through earthen vessels made of flesh. And sometimes, even though the Holy Spirit has something he wants to do, we can get in the way. Man can mess up what God wants to do at times. You don't believe me? I've been there. I've seen it happen. All right? Maybe not in this case, but others. God's word says that if there's tongues, there must be an interpretation. And that gift of interpretation is not to pervert what God is saying. So the person who has a gift of interpretation, God, that gift is working, and they immediately, supernaturally understand what that person said. I've seen it happen. I'm sorry, it's just real. It's rare, but I've seen it happen. And I want to encourage you in this, as one that used to be freaked out by all this stuff. Freaked out. The first time I saw that happen, I didn't know why, but like I started just crying. I felt, and then like the audience, you could just see the whole audience, God just began to move in the whole entire audience. And like right after that, like an altar call was given, and like 50 some people were saved because of the power and the presence of God that was there. So see, guys, when it's God, when it's done right, there are powerful results you don't want to miss out on. All right, let's look at the third utterance gift. This one is prophecy. Prophecy. Now let's look at prophecy real quick. Prophecy is a word from God for edification. What is edification? To build up. Very good. So if I edify you, I'm building you up. So see, prophets, true prophets, aren't coming and telling you that if you don't do this, like, your house is going to fall down and you're going to lose all your money in Jesus' name. Like, whoa. True prophets carry with them the power to always edify. A true word from God, even a warning from God, guys, listen, is always going to make you feel built up. It's always going to edify you. That gift, the word, is used to edify, to exhort. Exhortation is how to. Listen. Those of you who scored high, or you're gonna do some homework, and you may score high on exhortation, that's the how-to teacher. You're good at teaching people how. The prophet is also really good at exhortation. So this is what God is saying to you about your life, but this is how he wants you to come out of it victoriously. All right? Correction and comfort. How is prophecy used in the church? It is used to strengthen, encourage, correct, and comfort others, to edify or build up the church. Now, how is it not used? Listen, because I was burned by this one by someone like that hardly even knew me, or it's just way off. It is not meant to humiliate or embarrass others by exposing their weaknesses, shortcomings, or sins. It is not to criticize or to judge. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit must also exemplify and produce the fruit of the Spirit. So don't be trying to use gifts of the Spirit and be all judgmental and nasty and critical, because your gifts will not have the impact if your fruit stinketh. Okay? Okay, so those are the utterance gifts. Let's move on to the next section of gifts. These are revelation gifts. Revelation gifts. What do you think these might be about? Huh? You guys got real quiet because we talked about tongues and now you're freaked out. Okay, let's move on from that. All right? Revelation gifts. No, some of you are freaked out because you're going, I don't want those gifts, right? Is that what it is? All right. These you guys are going to love. All of you guys are going to like fight over these. Here we go. Word of wisdom. The first one is word of wisdom. This is a gift that is super powerful because it provides like an answer to a problem. It gives wisdom for a certain situation, and it solves a problem and gives an answer, a solution. I've seen this happen. Oh my goodness, this is such a cool gift. When like you're stuck and you don't see any single way out, the person with a gift of wisdom, the Holy Spirit will show them the way out and they will share with them. It's happened to my husband. Just a word of wisdom. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even see that. Right? And God's so good. He doesn't want you to feel stuck and see no way out. But guys, listen. If 80% of the church decides not to use their gifts of the Holy Spirit, how will that affect the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. If the person with the gift of wisdom decides they're not going to use it, how will that affect the people they were called to use that gift to or with? Right? Just think about that for a minute. Because all of the gifts affect the body of Christ. They impact it for good. But the body of Christ hurts when they're not being used. And we need 100% of Christ's followers using their gifts to fulfill their potential for you and for the kingdom, for the body of Christ. Look at the next one. Oh, how it's used. It's used to give direction or guidance. It is not to be used to puff you up, to take God's credit, thinking you yourself had that answer or all those answers. The next gift is word of knowledge. And I know I see the time, Tay-Tay. I'm going to wrap this up. Word of knowledge. Now, how would that be different than a gift of wisdom? It is different. The gift of wisdom, listen, solves a problem. The word of knowledge is God-given knowledge that you wouldn't have otherwise. It's just knowledge and information. Now, let me give you an example. My husband had gone to Houston with a friend. I think it was Chuck Denny at the time, our old worship pastor. And they went to go to something. I forget what it was. But they ended up sharing the hotel with the same group that was in the city to go to the WWF fights. I know, Carrie. Oh, Carrie's all tuned in now. Here we go. All right. And so Pastor Alvin gets in the elevator, and you know, Pastor Alvin never meets a stranger. And so in the elevator, there are these guys that were part of the team, or the WWF team. And one of them was like the manager, and one of them looked like one of the wrestlers. And Alvin's just stoked, you know. He's like, duh, you know. And he's talking to them, and they're talking and everything, and Alvin's just all excited. Well, I'm up in the hotel room. He told me he would meet me. 30 minutes goes by, an hour goes by, an hour and a half goes by. Victoria was a baby, and I'm in a hotel room in a city without my husband with my baby. Like 2 hours plus goes by, and the hotel phone rings. And I picked up that phone. I said, hello? He goes, babe, you awake? I'm like, yes, I'm awake. Where are you? I'm just fuming. This is when Pastor Alvin and I didn't have cell phones. I didn't like them. I still don't, but now I have to. Pastor Jeremy makes me. So anyway, it's a true story. don't get me started. Anyway, I'm fuming. And he goes, babe, you wouldn't believe what's happened. He said, I got to talking to some guys from the WF thing and the elevator. They invited me to come back to the room. I said, what? They went to some people's rooms? You don't even know? You didn't even tell me? He's like, babe, listen, stop, listen. This is a true story. I'm like, gosh, what did you do? Are you okay? Like, seriously, I thought, is he calling me because he's hurt? You see him, like, strapped off and, you know, beating Alvin up. He goes, they invited me to come back to the room. We started talking. He said, and God just opened up this door for me. I just started witnessing to them and sharing the gospel with them, started telling them all about the Lord. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I felt it. He said, the Lord gave me a word for the man, the wrestler guy. And it was about something going on in his marriage and his family. And he said, Talia, I opened my mouth. And he said, right now, you've got this going on, and this is what's happening with your wife. And God is saying, this is what's going to happen if you don't do that. The man starts crying. He gets saved. And by this point, I'm feeling really bad. That I was all mad. And then seriously, he got the guy's contact information, followed up with him for months. And he got connected to a church, helped him to get connected. Crazy, right? But that's what the word of knowledge will do. There was one time we were in the, oh gosh, I never have enough time. I always talk too long, darn it. But there was one time we were in a Chinese food restaurant. Alvin and I were on a date. And we went to Knack to go on a date. Well, we just went to Knack to go on a date because, like, we just didn't want to, like, we wanted to be able to focus on each other, you know, and just really, like, focus on each other. And so we get there, and we're like, oh, date night, no kids, we're not ministering to anybody, you know, we're just like, we are having a date night. This is a true story. And so we're sitting there, it was at Szechuan's before it closed. So sad about that. But we're sitting there, and I walked in, and the girl at the counter, oh my goodness, the Lord spoke to me as soon as I walked in there in my heart. And he said, you're going to speak to her for me today. And I just ignored it. Honest to God, I ignored the Lord. I didn't. I was like, I am on a date tonight. I am not. No, this is true. I'm not messing with it. I am not ministering tonight. I know. And so Alvin and I sit down and we order. And it's like gnawing at me. And then I look at Alvin. He goes, what's wrong? I said, I feel like the Lord told me I'm supposed to say something to that girl over there. He goes, what are you waiting for? I was like, Alvin, I don't want to do that right now. We're this. And he's like, I think he told me, like, go to the restroom and just maybe just pray about it for a minute. So I went to the restroom, shut the stall. I was like, okay, Lord, if you really want me to do this, like, you got to tell me exactly what you mean to say and hurry and get this done because I'm on a date with my husband. And he said, tell her that I see her and I know what she's into. And if she will call on my name, if she will call my name, I'm going to show up and I'm going to break the chains that are holding her down right now. Yeah. I was like, no, right? Like, not that word. Like, can I just tell her that Jesus says you're pretty in his sight or something? No. So I go and I sit down and Alvin's like, he spoke to you, didn't he? I was like, yes. And so then still didn't obey. I said, okay, Lord, if you really want me to do it, like, make her, like, get up and walk across the room two times. Like, this kind of a test, right? This is how full of faith your pastor is. And so it was just gnawing at me. I was miserable the whole dinner. It was a horrible date night, except for the end. And I went up to the girl at the counter. I waited until the T was crossed to Vanderlee's, then I slid the paper across the counter. And I finally said, sweetheart, can I say something to you? And please know, I don't normally do this sort of thing. And you might think I'm crazy. I understand. But will you just hear me out for just like a sec? And she's like, sure. I said, so, how do you get into this? But I said, I don't know if you believe in God, but I do. And God is real, and God speaks to his people in their heart. And when I walked in here, God spoke to my heart about you. And God said, he sees what you're going through. And at this point, her hands start shaking. And I'm like, oh, snap, we're at the front desk of the restaurant. And she said, I said, he sees you. He sees that you're stuck and you're in bondage to some stuff right now that's really hard for you and you can't get rid of it. And he told me to come tell you if you will call his name, he's going to set you free. He's going to break that stuff. He's going to get you out of your situation. I don't know what it is. Tears. I mean, she's shaking from head to toe. She's tears. I mean, all over. Then she gets out from behind the counter. And, like, I'm telling you, this girl, like, grabs me, starts hugging me, starts weeping. And I'm going, dear Jesus, please don't let her boss come in here. Please, Jesus, don't let her boss come in here. I mean, but I'm, like, also very evidently, I can see the Holy Spirit's there moving in this girl's heart. And I'm telling you, to this day, I wonder if I made a mistake. Because had I said, Jesus, I don't know what would have happened to her. Like, I don't know. The presence and the power of God was that strong. And so I just said a quick, soft prayer over her and said, I don't want to embarrass you. You know, I know we're out front. but just reiterated what I said. And she was, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, just powerful. On my date night, when I went to go hide in Ack. Why did I take the time to tell that story? Because the gifts of the Spirit are cool. They're powerful. And I'm no different than you, and you're no different than me, and God has cool things he wants to do in and through you too. I'm going to read through these. Taylor, go ahead and come up here. I'm going to read through these in like 60 seconds, and we can touch base on them more next week. But I want to at least fill in your blanks here. You can read how they're used, how not to. The next one, though, of Revelation is that discerning of spirits, the ability to see in the spirit realm or feel and discern what's going on in the spirit realm. Okay? That's a really cool gift. It's just basically you've heard people say they're, oh, very intuitive. Oh, they're very sensitive to things that God is doing. Well, there's a label for it. It's a gift of discernment. And it is used to help differentiate between what is God and what is not, okay? But it's not meant to make you look behind every corner and bush for something that's yucky and demonic. That's just ridiculous and out of order, okay? Then there are power gifts. There's the gift of faith. Oh, I love this one. This is God-given, like supernatural faith to believe God for something big. You use it to pray the will of God into existence. You don't use it by praying your will into existence. These people are the ones that, you know them. Have you ever met one of them? They just believe, they could believe God for anything. And like it happens for them. Like those are the people you want praying for you. The next one under power gifts is working of miracles. It's the supernatural happenings. Working of miracles, oh my goodness, Jesus did so many of these when he multiplied the bread and the fish. These things are not able to be explained. You believe and ask God for something truly miraculous in life, and it just happens. You don't use this gift by trying to act like a magician. Seriously, I have seen Christians do weird stuff, not at this church, but like I went to some of these like groups in the house or something. They did some weird stuff. The gift of miracles does not make you a magician. Okay? Gift of healing and the last one. Taylor, come up here. God's sovereign power operating through you to heal. You use it to pray for those who are sick. How do you not use the gift of healing? To think you have the power to go to anyone, anytime, and touch them, and they're healed. The gifts of the Spirit are subject to the Spirit. Listen. He determines which ones you get, and we submit to his leadership and how they're used. Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing first. Hold on. This is important. See, I didn't go up to that girl on my own and just think I'm going to go win everybody in the restaurant to Jesus. That's not what I did. But because I'm connected to the vine, because I spend time with God consistently, I know his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice, and he wants you to know his voice, and he wants you to know what gifts you have, and he wants you to use them in submission to his Spirit's leadership to bring him great glory. And as you do that, you're going to unbuckle from this plateau you're on, or may feel, and you're going to soar to a new level with God.